Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
All right, here we go. Are we ready in the booth? Yes. Thumbs up. As we explained last week, I had a Facebook question from somebody that said that I was unkind and I was purposely neglecting my staff here that helps me put together the podcast. I would always refer to them here in this opening, which is really not the opening. It's kind of like a little behind the scenes. When I say 3, 2, 1, that's when the official podcast starts. The whole idea of keeping the tape, it's not tape anymore, of a recording before is just to give you a little inside back behind the scenes of what goes on before the official show starts. I always thought that would be kind of fun and interesting just to let you in on some of that. And as you can see, there's nothing crazy about it, but I thought it was a little different. But this person felt as if I was ignoring or purposely not referring to my staff here in the studio by name. And as I tried to explain, that's kind of the whole idea of this theater of the mind, to let the listener imagine who's there or what's there or where I am or what I'm doing. So I'm not going to give it all away, but just as a nod to that person, there are several people that are with me on a regular basis behind the scenes. So I have just, starting last week, I just gave them a general name. So I refer to, from now on, I'm not going to go through this explanation all the time, but I just thought I would if you didn't hear it last week. So when I say thank you, Reggie is my official name for all the producers or all the engineers behind the scene. So thumbs up, Reggie. Thank you. And once again, Reggie can go both ways. R-E-G-G-I-E if it's a man, or R-E-G-G-I if it's a woman. That's the way I'm looking at it. So levels are okay, Reggie. Thank you. All right. Yes, of course, talent is always ready. Let's go. Three S's. Star, smile, strong. Here we go. Ready, Reg? 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. Unlike so much of the entertainment that you choose, we are definitely binge-worthy when you click on here. So welcome to episode number 151, 151. And, of course, don't forget my landing page at WGNplus.com. Go to the entertainment section. There will be a prompt for Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and there you will find all previous 150 episodes, which, of course, means that this is 151. Thank you for downloading, clicking, scrolling, whatever it is you do to find us on a regular basis. Your effort and your loyalty is much appreciated. And as I said, thank you for that 1 hour of the 168 hours of a week. That's all I ask for. You have 168. You can't give me one? If you're listening to this, you have given me that one, and I appreciate it. And for that, I will send you this adorable blanket. No. I wonder if anybody gets that joke. One of my favorite charities is the Shriners commercials with Alec, who I found out is actually from the Illinois Shriners area. And but he has this, that, you know, how most little kids have for some reason that New York accent when they're growing up. And he always says, if you do donate, you will get this adorable blanket. And so That's what I that's what that adorable blanket part is. But anyway, so now I want to turn to our guest today. Right off the top, we usually come to the Pop Culture Club a little later in the podcast, but I thought this topic was certainly worthy of a little more discussion. So, Emily Armanetti, are you there?
Hey, Jim.
Yes, we have. We go to the Pop Culture Club, and there's Emily and Emily Armanetti, and we're going to talk interestingly today, I hope, of everybody. I mean, this podcast will initially be posted on April 8th, and then, of course, we'll live on forever. But in the next week leading up to this upcoming Sunday, April 14th, I would venture to say that if you read newspapers, if you go online, if you watch television, wherever you get your information from, you are going to hear or see the term GOT, Game of Thrones. And so it comes out for its final season, last six episodes on HBO, the culmination of all these characters and all these wars as they fight for the Iron Throne. And so it would seem as if everybody is into Game of Thrones. But Emily, I know for sure you don't even watch Game of Thrones, correct?
Correct.
I mean, you've never seen an episode.
Not a single episode.
You haven't even been intrigued to try to watch one?
No.
Why?
I mean, basically because I don't like dragons. I don't like
You are not the dungeons. Mother of you are not the mother of dragons?
No, I don't like Dungeons and Dragons. I don't like medieval times.
I don't like Dirty Dragon. Nothing
about this show.
You don't want to learn you don't want to learn how to train a dragon?
No. Don't want to do that. No. But my husband watches it.
Oh, he does.
All of it. Yeah.
And so you're not, not even through osmosis.
No.
And so then so when does he watch it on his own?
Well, I mean, I think he started watching it.
No, but like when does he physically watch it if you guys don't watch it together?
Okay, well, this is the thing. When he first started watching it, I believe he was watching it. I don't think he started watching it from the very beginning, like in real time when it was airing
right.
on whenever Sunday nights on
right.
HBO. But I think he got into it at some point when he was able to like download a season and then started watching it when he was traveling for work. But he will watch. So he is caught up. So now he'll watch it. Like, I feel like the last season when it was airing and he was watching in real time,
uh-huh.
like he would go, we have one family room upstairs and one downstairs, and so he'll go watch like downstairs.
Wow. So you guys share.
Yeah, so we don't have to
share I don't want to say anything about your marriage, but that's it's kind of drifting apart
just for Game of Thrones.
Just kind of, well, it seems like you're drifting. I mean, clearly now,
Game of Thrones is tearing, ripping apart my.
Clearly, yeah. You have different interests. You guys did not talk about this dragon issue before you got married. He is clearly pro dragon.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because, like, I don't even know what made him. I guess it was because so many people were talking about it, and we have a lot of friends who watch it.
Well, that's the thing. I'm in your camp. I went to medieval times one time. I did not enjoy my glass of mead and all the spears and all that stuff. I'm not into Renaissance fairs. I'm not into fantasy, and that's fine if you are. I'm just not my cup of tea. I never was into it. Not big into.
Why did you start watching Game of Thrones?
So just like you're saying. So when this started coming up, I had never heard of Game of Thrones. I never heard of, you know, this George R.R. Martin and the Song of Fire and Ice or whatever the books are. You know, that's not my cup of tea. So Game of Thrones comes on, which is based upon these George R.R. Martin books. And I always thought it was interesting. I'm sure that he probably had to put the RR in his name because George Martin, it was the Beatles producer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he's well known. He was Sir George Martin. I mean, he's the guy, you know, that helped create the Beatles, you know. So yeah. I'm sure that this guy had to put the RR in there to get the difference because he would have
to distinguish himself.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it was not on my radar screen whatsoever. And you have to remember, too, when Game of Thrones first started, you know, HBO was really kind of in a, you know, in a quandary because they had just finished with The Sopranos after that very successful run. And everybody watched The Sopranos, and it was a pop culture phenomenon, and it really helped establish HBO. Everybody now thinks HBO has always been this, you know, kind of powerhouse, you know, cable outlet. And it was one of the first ones, and it's always been popular. But in terms of, you know, original programming, they always had some. That's where the Larry Sanders Show with Gary Shandling started. They always had some. But really, The Sopranos, it turned a corner with The Sopranos. That became must-see TV.
Yeah.
And so HBO was like, uh-oh, now what do we do? You know, how do we replace The Sopranos? Because don't forget, HBO is dependent on subscribers. And so, you know, they were taking a big chance by going into this kind of, you know, fantasy world, which there certainly was a group of people that were into it. But, I mean, Game of Thrones was not certainly something that I think was going to immediately be this phenomenon that so many people would watch, but I think HBO, to their credit, they went all in on it. The production values were great. They spent almost $1 million per episode. So they were certainly saying, okay, look, we think this could be something, and to their credit, they didn't go in on the cheap. And so immediately, even if you weren't taken in by the story, you had to be impressed by the production values. Like, hey, this looks like it's a Hollywood movie, you know?
Well, it makes you wonder, actually, because I don't really know what the real timelines are, but it makes you wonder how other things in pop culture may have influenced them to do that, like perhaps the success of, like, the Lord of the Rings films, the success of the Harry Potter series, all that fantasy stuff that kind of...
Oh, yeah, it was all happening.
Had
oh, yeah.
A very strong mainstream.
Oh, certainly.
Maybe that was part of why they said, oh, you know what? Maybe this isn't going to be like a niche thing. Maybe we can really, if we really invest in this, we can bring it mainstream and it can be a huge...
Oh, yeah, no, that's exactly true. I mean, that was all kind of happening at the same time. There's no question about that. But still... My point is, they could have easily not invested. So, I mean, they put their money where their mouth was, and it turned out to be a, you know, they've made their money back, you know, 40-fold. But to original question, so when Game of Thrones started, I heard a lot of buzz about it because, as we all know, the nerd factor in pop culture now has taken over pop culture, and so there were a lot of people that were aware of the George R. R. Martin books, and there is a lot of people into those fantasy and those comic cons and Renaissance fairs and all that stuff. And that is certainly more than just it used to be a little niche thing, and now it's pretty big, you know, with the superheroes and everything. So it was certainly a buzz, but I was not into it. I didn't watch the whole first season, in fact, until I read, because it was impossible not to read about it if you read about pop culture stuff with magazines and stuff, until the final episode of the first season aired. And what I read about it was everybody was amazed, even though it was in the book, but I don't think a lot of people read this book series because the books are like 2,000 pages. It's some ridiculous amount. It's so, so in-depth.
And who reads anymore? I mean, I try to. I do, and I'm in a book club. But let's face it. I feel like, does our society even have an attention span enough to, like, read a book?
No, I have a feeling that more people at your book club, they're more worried about what wine and cheese you guys are having that night than you are with book. I mean, let's face it. The book club was never a book club. It was always a wine club.
Okay, but I do always try to read the books.
Yeah, okay, right. I remember you being in book clubs 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know, right?
In fact, you were one of the first people I ever heard who was in a book club.
Do you know what? The book club that I was in 20 years ago, the one you're referring to in Chicago, that book club is still going, and actually, they celebrated their 20-year anniversary recently.
They did a trip.
They did a trip to...
to what
there
bar?
Were like four, there were four different...
Where? Places. To Napa?
No, it wasn't to Napa.
For wine?
Florida, but... No, there were four cities that they narrowed it down to, and everybody voted. I was invited to go. I just couldn't go that weekend because I had another commitment, but it's still going 20 years later.
20 years later. I heard they went to Minnesota, to Hazleton, which is the the rehab center.
Renowned rehab center.
Because what's nice to see is 20 years later, they are now all alcoholics after having, after drinking once a month. Now they have an actual problem.
But they're very well read, and so they've got that going.
Well, their noses are red. I know their noses are red.
You are right. Book clubs do tend to revolve more around gossip and wine than they do.
You know what? And I knew, if you remember, I gave you a hard time about your book club 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I said, I didn't even know what a book club was, and I said... Once you described it, I said, you guys, all you're doing is drinking. Well, no. No, that's not true. Yeah, I could tell. This was just a nice story to tell the folks as to why you were getting together to get drunk. But that's a side story. So anyway, so I did not, I was not at all watching this until I read how... In the final episode, after it aired, one of the key main characters and one of the best loved characters of the first season was this patriarch of the family, Ned Stark, and they killed him in the first season. At the end, that was the last episode of the first season. He was beheaded.
Oh, okay.
And so when I read that...
Spoiler alert.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Once again, what is it?
Look, I'm not worried about me because I will never be watching. Yeah,
well, I'm sorry. Well, if you don't know that, then, you know, I mean, when
it's
you
over.
Know... Yeah, well, what is the statute of limitations on spoiler alerts here? I got news for you. A Vito Corleone dies.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well... And in opinion, so did Tony Soprano, but we can debate that on
another day. I mean, my gosh, you know, Pinocchio becomes a boy, okay? I mean, what? When do we stop here? So when I read that, I was like, wow, now that is gutsy from a production and a storytelling, you know, and from a television series that was gaining popularity. I kept reading about Game of Thrones. And I said, wow, the fact that they would have enough guts, I mean, to use your analogy, that would be like after the first season, the Sopranos killing Tony Soprano.
Right.
You know? And so I'm like, wow, that sounds to me like that might be something that I should be watching, because to me, that's the kind of storytelling that I appreciate, and they're the kind of television production that I appreciate, that they're worried about the story and not about their popularity.
Right.
Because, I mean, here you are killing off one of the most popular characters. And I know it was part of the story in the books, but still, you know, even Game of Thrones admits now that they don't follow his books word for word. So I'm sure HBO could have said, hey, you're not going to kill off this main character. Everybody likes him.
Right.
But they let them do that. So I thought that was kind of gutsy and kind of bold. And so back in my day, before it was called binging, I mean, the fact of the matter is I've been binge watching my whole life.
Right.
I just never gave it a name. But if you remember, back in the 90s and early 2000s, binge-watching used to be called a marathon.
Right, exactly.
So when Game of Thrones was over, and that first season was over, HBO held a Game of Thrones marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed all, I think there were 10 episodes, or whatever there were, like in one day. So I said to my wife, you know, I said, why don't we try this Game of Thrones thing? Unlike you, I do things with my spouse. I don't make her go to another room. We share.
Well, like I said, I only do that for Game of Thrones.
I'm just joking.
Okay. So, my husband loves me enough. He will sit and he will watch The Real Housewives.
Oh, okay. Hills. All right. Well, then, Well, that's pitiful.
Even though he doesn't watch that show and he doesn't like it and he doesn't like any of that stuff. Wow. But he will still sit with me.
Wow. Okay. Well, okay. All right. Then I take it all back. Either he's henpecked. Or he loves you. I don't know which one we'll go with.
Yeah, but I think he might love me a little bit.
But anyway, so I said, why don't we try this Game of Thrones? Because, you know, everybody's talking about it. And my wife does like dragons. And she is kind of, she loves Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
She's read all the books. And we've seen all the movies. And I'm certainly not, I've seen them with her. I haven't read the.
You have not read.
I have not read the books. I know. Some of those books. Once again, they're way too thick. too many adjectives, but she likes that kind of stuff. She likes the Tales of Narnia.
Yeah.
And all those kind of things.
I'm trying to get James into that because he's reading the Harry Potter series for the second time.
And wow!
Hey, yeah. There are other really great.
Yeah.
Book series out there, like why don't we try this one? It was one of my favorites as a kid, was the Narnia.
Oh, was it? Oh, really? Okay. So you can't say that you're totally not into. So you can't say that you're totally not into fantasy stuff.
Well, okay. I mean, this is one of my favorites from childhood. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not reading Harry Potter.
Right.
I don't
read
Harry Potter. So I can't say as an adult I'm that into the whole.
I mean, we've gone now. Genre. I mean, as much as we indulge my Elton obsessions. We have, seen all the Harry Potter films, and, she's got her 9 3/4, keychain, which is the King's Cross
platform,
and we have been outside of London in the Watford area to the actual studio tour that you take of where they filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
Which she just was like in heaven, and then this last summer we went to New York and saw the Harry Potter Broadway show, the two-parter. So we certainly, I've gotten into it through osmosis, and I enjoy it. But like I said, I'm not totally into that fantasy world. But
right.
I mean it's well done, and the characters are interesting. So I've listened to it. So anyway. So I said, well, let's watch that. So she certainly wasn't averse to that at all because she's like, oh, okay. I don't think she really heard about it, but this certainly was not out of her realm to say like, oh, I'll hate this.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll tell you, we watched the first episode and I was impressed. I mean, I was like enough to say, okay, let's keep watching.
Right.
And we watched all 10, I believe it was 10 or 8 episodes. I'm not sure how many there were in the first season. Once again, it shows how I'm not a complete, Game of Thrones head here. But we watched the entire first season in one day.
Wow.
Yeah, we watched it from, 10 in the morning till 10 at night, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that, it was like, okay, that was pretty cool. I was definitely hooked. I don't go crazy. We don't have the Iron Throne, where our recliner used to be in the house. And, I don't have figurines or all stuff like that. We have no dragons in the house. but at the same time, certainly now we have watched from that, after binge watching the first season, we have watched every season on the first run every week when they come out. So certainly now we are completely invested and I'll be watching it. As I said, I think it's impossible unless you've read those books or unless you're really going to invest some time. I mean, the show has so many characters. There are so many subplots that it's hard to, sometimes you even forget, oh, that's right. There's that guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's a lot of that. That's kind of a common, complaint or whatever by people that are casual fans. I think it's possible to be a casual fan. I think that even if you don't like dragons, I really believe, given the what I know about you and your likes and your tastes, I think you would like this. Because you and I are in the same boat. I'm not into this fantasy stuff at all like that. I know I was not into Lord of the Rings. I saw the first one, and I wasn't taken away by it. I didn't see the last two, and didn't care to. Never have. But there is some really good storytelling here, and I think.
How do I get into it? This is the thing too. Even if I decide, okay, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to see what all the hype is. How do I do it now? Like, I don't even have anyone to watch it with. Everybody is, like, on to the final season.
Well, I know, but you have some time during the... You have an hour a day.
Yeah, but I have to use that hour watching other things.
Well, like I said, if I were you,
that's my Real Housewives time. That's my Bravo hour.
Oh, my God. Now, what is the show... What is the show that you still have not seen the ending of? Remember? Was it The Sopranos or no?
Better Call Saul, and you better not ruin it for me.
Well, no, that's not over yet. That's still going.
Yeah, but I'm like two seasons behind. I mean,
Really? Oh, you're that far behind?
Yeah, I am. But I did finally see, for a really long time, I still had not seen the ending of Breaking Bad, but I have seen that now.
You did see it? Because that was the one. Yes. That was the one. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to give you, like, spoiler. You had to, like, hold off on your spoiler alert.
But see, now Breaking Bad is another example, same thing. I came to Breaking Bad very late in the game.
Yeah.
I came to Breaking Bad, like, after season 3.
Oh, I mean, it's possible that I started watching Breaking Bad, like, when the final season was
starting.
Like, because I was watching it on... I don't like Netflix or Hulu or I don't even know what, but no. I definitely was not watching.
Yeah, that was the same thing because once again, I am not a big fan of, you know, kind of drug related underbelly movies. That's not my thing. I don't care about that world. It doesn't interest me. I don't like gunfights. I don't like fist fights. I don't like wars. That's why Game of Thrones didn't appeal to me initially too. You know, there's this is a war for Westeros. Okay, I don't care. In fact, some of the, you know, the people talk about some of the best episodes of Game of Thrones, and last season they had an episode that was literally a half hour of a war.
Mm-hmm. See, I would not like that.
And I hate and I fell asleep. Now people are saying, "Oh my God, that was the greatest." You know, there was a show, do you ever watch Vikings?
No.
Okay, there was a show called Vikings. Actually, the first two seasons were really good. It was talking about how the Vikings.
I think it's funny that you even asked me if I watched.
Well, I don't know because it was.
I'm not going to get on board Game of Thrones. I'm definitely not watching a show called.
Well, it was critically acclaimed, and in the first season, Gabriel Byrne was in it, one of my favorite actors, and it was interesting. But then, after the first season. It got more war-based, because obviously the Vikings were just, you know, these slaughterers. And and it just, you know, and so they were all excited about, you know, the intensity and, you know, the special effects of these war scenes. And they just started to go, and I was like, okay, that's not my thing. I don't like car chases. I don't like war scenes. I don't like gunfights. I don't, you know, so that's not my deal. You know, once again, I like, you know, Woody Allen movies.
Right.
So, you know, although I do like The Godfather, obviously. But but even that, it's more like an opera than it is a gangster movie. But
right.
But anyway, so yeah, Breaking Bad was certainly, but all I kept reading about every season was how great this Breaking Bad was, you know. So once again, one time over a Labor Day weekend or something... For like 3 days, AMC, because once again, this was before streaming services and, you know, he had a marathon. This is before the term binge. It was a weekend marathon, and we watched all weekend.
Yes. Well, but the beauty of Breaking Bad, though, is that, like, all the things that don't appeal to you about that show are a lot of the reasons why it works, because this is a guy, because Walter White is a total fish out of water. So even though he becomes involved in this whole drug ring, and that's the whole, and he's making crystal meth and
right,
whatever.
Right.
But like, but the whole thing about Breaking Bad is that it was completely against character for him. And he was in a dire situation, which then leads, like, it's like, and then it becomes like a slippery slope.
Oh, yeah, no. And, but my point is, initially, when you heard the description, it was a drug, you know, that I understand. Once you watched it, you realized the show was much more than just some drug underworld story.
Right.
Like you're saying.
And that's also what makes it so bingeable, is like, because, you know, I totally remember when I first started watching it, at the end of every episode, you just think to yourself, like, oh my God, like, what else could possibly happen to this guy?
Right.
Like, I have to immediately watch the next episode, because you're just dying to see, like, what, every week, it got just, like, crazier and crazier. And
oh, yeah, no, and know, like I said, so I came to that boat very, you know, very late as well. And binged my way into it, and then thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know how you waited. Now, I was there from day one on The Sopranos. That, to me, you know, once again, I like Goodfellas. I like, you know, I like the mobster kind of movie. So I was in from second one of Sopranos when that started.
Yeah.
But like,
well,
I said,
Breaking Bad. Okay, again, so in my defense, and same thing with Sopranos, because I didn't watch the last couple seasons in real time. But in my defense, the Sopranos started when I was living in Chicago, and then a couple seasons into it, I moved to London. And there, it takes a little bit longer for, like, hit shows in the States come over.
Right.
But usually there's a delay. And also, not a lot of people have cable, and I didn't spend a lot of time at home at all when I was there.
Right.
And so all of that added up. Now, Breaking Bad started when I was living over there, you know. So the first couple seasons of Breaking Bad aired before, and I wasn't even living here. And so that's how that, like, both of those shows, I think if I hadn't had that kind of that factor, I probably would have been watching them in real time if I had never left Chicago and I stayed in the same place. But that kind of created a little bit of it. And then it's like, you come back here and you kind of miss the boat on certain things. And I don't know. So I did eventually catch up, which is the good news. But I don't know if I see myself doing the same with Game of Thrones.
So now here's my question then. So now there's no question. Now, first of all, your husband watches this, so he's probably gonna on the 14th he's gonna be watching this, so I don't know what you're gonna be doing.
He might be watching,
knitting or doing your your needlepoint.
I do knit. I know how
do you knit.
I do, but I take long breaks. Sometimes I go through knitting phases, then I'll stop for like 2 years and then I'll start again, because like it's hard on my hands.
Still working on that Afghan.
I'm still working on the same scarf. Yeah, I've been working on the same scarf for like 5 years.
It's going to be a hell of a scarf when it's done.
I don't think I could really attempt an Afghan.
Why don't you why don't you make it a pocket square?
Yeah.
Then you'll be done already.
Right.
So my question is, I didn't even know this. So now your husband watches it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure on April 14th, he's going to be watching it, because if you're a Game of Thrones fan in any kind of way, you're going to have to, you've been waiting, because now it has not been on for almost a year and a half, if not longer. It's taken that long.
So do you even remember, like?
Oh, I have no. I'm going to definitely have to watch the last two or three episodes.
Just to get
back to speed. I mean, my gosh, just the other day, a couple weeks ago, two of my favorite shows, Barry and Veep, came back. Mm-hmm. On HBO, and I did not remember anything. I mean, Veep hasn't been on for about a year and a half because Julia Louis-Dreyfus had breast cancer, and so it was delayed. But Barry was only on last year, and I completely forgot a main. My wife goes, "Well, don't you remember this?" And I'm like, "Holy smokes, no. I'm going to have to go." I just watched it last night, in fact, even though it had been on a couple of nights before, but I didn't watch it. Now that I've got HBO on my Netflix, I could watch it anytime.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I am on demand.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I feel the same way. It's funny you should say that because I was watching this show that just came. It's a Netflix show. It's called Santa Clarita Diet.
Which I heard about that. Everybody eats everybody, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a great show. It is a great
show. Is it really?
I feel like I'm the only person who watches it, but yes. It's funny. You know, it's kind of dark comedy,
right.
But Drew Barrymore is obviously so charming, and you just can't. She's so watchable, you know. And Timothy Oliphant plays her husband.
Oh, okay.
I really like him. I mean, he's kind of been low key for many years.
Right.
He's been around forever.
Oh, yeah.
But he's you know, and he has these niche projects, I think, that he does. But like, he plays her husband in this. He's outstanding. He's very funny in it as well.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
And they just they basically just like uploaded, I guess you would say, or posted season 3. So this is the third season of this. And I remember like last year when I heard season 2 was coming out, I was super excited because I watched the first season right when it came out and I really loved it. And at the time, I was stuck in bed for a few days because I had to have like a medical procedure. And so I was stuck in bed for a few days. And so I binge watched it,
right.
You know, and so it was really easy. And then, but you know, with Netflix, you can do that with any show because they upload everything at the same time. You know what I mean?
Right
when it comes out. So then I was like, oh man, I wish that wasn't over. I enjoyed it so much. And I had to wait a whole year for the second season. And so now here we are, third season. It just recently came out like a week ago. I'm almost done watching it because it's just so good, you know?
I've heard a lot about that.
I was watching this episode the other day and they were referencing stuff that happened last year. And I was like you, I was like, wait a second, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
I don't really remember that.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you have to remember in this world now of these shows, you know, before with network television, shows used to end in May and then come back in September.
Right.
So you only had 3 or 4 months in between, and a lot of times in the summer, they would show reruns of the past season.
Yes.
Every week. Yeah. So you could be right up to date. I mean, and the whole idea, I mean, you may have, I don't even know, well, if you were born, you were very young, but I mean, that the whole thing of who shot JR from Dallas, you know, that was the whole thing where JR got shot in May, and those 3 or 4 months, you know, when Dallas, the funny thing is, when Dallas was on before when JR got shot, it wasn't even that big of a hit. But when he got shot, you had this 3 months, and it was such a shocking thing because, once again, like I was saying with Game of Thrones, killing Ned Stark, JR was the main character of Dallas. And so for him to have gotten shot was such a shock. And so that summer, from June until September, I mean, there was a frenzy of who shot JR. There were T-shirts. They were rerunning the whole season. Who shot JR? Who shot JR? It became, you know, that really was one of the early pop culture touchstones where you can actually say where, you know, this whole idea of pop culture where people got into a show that much, where even the casual fan, even someone who didn't watch the show, got caught up in it because it became just the zeitgeist. It was just, that's what people talked about that whole summer. And especially back in the 70s, your options of entertainment were 3 networks. That was it.
Right.
People can't really fathom that these days, but that's all we had. And so it was the same kind of thing here. And so when you look at now the Game of Thrones, and they've set this thing up where there's this big, you know, kind of confrontation that's going to happen here, that one I sort of remember just because it was so, but this Barry show, for instance, I mean, you know, that was on a year ago. I mean, for instance, now I know that they are delaying the I Love Homeland with Claire Danes and Mandy Patinkin. If you asked me right now how the last season of Homeland ended, I have no idea.
Yeah, I kind of stopped watching that show after a few.
Well, it's it's lost its luster, but I've still continued. I've been invested in it enough that I want to see how it ends. But my point is, when that show premieres now, sometime in the fall, I would assume, if not later, because I know they delayed it for whatever reason. I have no idea what happened. I don't know how it ended. If you asked me right now, I would not know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's one thing to wait 3 or 4 months from when a show ended to when the next season ends, especially if they had a cliffhanger. But to go a whole year, I think, you know, it does. You do ask the viewer to really, either be so into it, or thankfully most of these shows now are available. So when you know when the new ones are going to start to come out, you can go and do a little, homework on your own and watch the last.
Refresh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But my gosh, I mean, to wait a whole year for a new season is kind of a long wait. I don't care what kind of memory you have, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I watched, Veep and Barry, and I was just like, wow. Now, I'm going to have to watch some of these Game of Thrones because I know the major conflict that is leading into this final season. But as I said, there's about 75 other subplots. So my point is, to get back to the original question, okay, so now your husband, the goal here is how does one go through life in a Game of Thrones world when you're not into Game of Thrones? Because for the next 3 months, this will be a Game of Thrones world. So now, A, your husband is going to be into it.
Yes.
B, everywhere you watch, everywhere you look, you're going to be hearing or reading stories about Game of Thrones, whether you want to or not. I mean, right. I just got my, a few weeks ago, I got this, my subscription to Entertainment Weekly. It was a regular magazine, but 78 pages of the magazine were dedicated solely to Game of Thrones.
Wow.
That's a whole issue just on that. And then they had the other stuff. The whole issue was a double issue, but 78 pages. They went into so much detail about the whole family and all this stuff. I mean, to have dedicated that much time, they had like 15 different covers that you could collect.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was a whole thing. So I'm just wondering, from your standpoint, A, up to this point, even though you have not watched Game of Thrones, you don't feel that you're out of the mix because you are Miss Pop Culture. And so I'm just wondering, how does it feel to not be into one of the biggest pop culture phenomenons in the last 20 years?
I'm okay with it. I mean, I do. When people talk about it, I'm like, I don't watch. Then there's always the what? You don't watch Game of Thrones? Right. It's the best. But like,
Feel any urge like I did.
No.
To say, well, let me try it. Like same thing with Breaking Bad. Geez, I'm hearing so much about this. Let me just try it.
Yeah, and that's what happened to me with Breaking Bad.
But you don't feel that with Game of Thrones.
No.
Wow. So you must really hate dragons.
I really am not into dragons.
But sadly, though, so now my question is too then, if you're reading a story, for instance, or if you're watching a show, because today most TV shows are littered with pop culture references to everything.
To Game of Thrones, yeah.
Well, everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you ever watch the show Billions at all?
No.
With
Paul, I hear it's really good.
With Paul Giamatti. Whoever writes that show, and I know they have several writers, but my gosh, I don't know if the writers are instructed to every 3 minutes drop a reference to either The Godfather or some pop culture. Every show has at least 4 or 5 pop culture references. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, I mean, I love that because I get most of them.
Yeah.
But even from my standpoint, it's like, okay, enough.
Right.
I mean, the other day I watched an episode in the middle of this very intense conversation. These two guys are going head to head. And this one guy quotes the lyrics to Baker Street.
Oh, I love Baker Street.
You know, the song Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty.
Yeah, I know Jerry Rafferty.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden, so I hear the line and the guy goes, Baker Street. You know, and then of course at the end of the when the episode ends, they play Baker Street over the credits. But it's like, my gosh, they reference The Godfather constantly. They reference, you know, so much stuff, and which is fun. So my question is, when you're watching a show like that, if they make a Game of Thrones reference, you have no clue what they're talking about. They said, well, you're going to lose your head like Ned Stark. You don't know what he's talking about.
Right. I don't, but that's okay.
It's okay. So I'm just surprised that you don't feel the urge to get on board.
No. And the only time it's really, we'll say, disruptive is if I am sitting, let's say I'm having dinner. this definitely happened once, like early on when my husband first started watching. I'm having dinner with friends.
Right.
And they all watch it and they all started talking about it. And so for like, for 10 minutes, I mean, I had no idea what they were talking about.
I
couldn't contribute in any way.
Right.
I was getting bored.
Did you ask to change the conversation, or just change it?
When stop talking about
did you say
something? I don't remember how it ended, but I think I probably did, like, you know, try to gently change the subject, because I was like,
and then you brought up, and then you brought up Clueless.
Yeah.
Isn't Clueless great? Don't you love Reese Witherspoon in anything?
Okay, I have watched things like more recently than 1994.
but yeah, no, because like I said, I'm watching this. I'm just looking at all this this Game of Thrones stuff, and now it's certainly heating up as it's getting closer. And I'm like, you know, like I said, I'm into it enough that I'm interested, but I'm not obsessed with it. Like, oh my gosh, and to be honest with you, I might not even be home on Sunday night.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I might not be home.
Okay, you DVR it in that case, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, certainly. Well, yeah. But my point is, I mean, this is a big deal, and yet I may not be home to watch it when it first airs. But see, that to me, I'll pick it up. I don't have to. There's some people that are going to be, you know, sitting at that television.
They're not making any plans. Yeah, I mean, look, if I subscribed to Entertainment Weekly and I got an issue that had like 72 pages dedicated to Game of Thrones, I'd be annoyed because I don't watch it.
Oh yeah.
It's the same reason I stopped like reading like Us Weekly and People Magazine, because all of a sudden every week it was someone from The Bachelor
on
the cover, and I'm like, I don't even know who these people are. I don't watch The Bachelor. I don't watch The Bachelorette. I have no idea what this stuff is. I don't know who these people are. I don't care who they are. So that I would probably be a little annoyed.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I mean, so here I am. I'm into this. I mean, I watched the show, and yet I kept that issue. But it's been out for about 3 or 4 weeks now. I have not read any of the Game of Thrones stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, look, if you need a refresher instead of watching the old episodes, maybe you just flip through there.
Well, that's why I kept it. I said to myself, let me just keep this because it may come in handy.
Yeah.
You know, sometime down the line, and I might want to read it. But my point is, when it came in the mail, I didn't go, oh my God, this is the greatest thing on earth. You know, 78 pages. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me for 3 hours. I'm reading. So, like I said, I'm sort of on the fence with it. I enjoy the show. I think it's very well written. I think it's very well made. There is some good storytelling in there. They certainly, there's a lot of ancillary stuff. It's very hard to follow at times. It's very complex. It's very convoluted.
Not selling me on this.
Well, no.
By the way.
Well, but my point is, what is good, and all those things, I understand that. But what is good is the heart of the story, and there's some really good. If you can possibly stay with it through and follow the main thread, you are very compelled to see where it's going.
Okay.
But at the same time, as I said, then there are many tentacles of the story that feed off of the main one. And that at times gets difficult to, but even those then have their own little twists, which are fun. But then sometimes you go,
oh, wait a minute. Oh, so that's that guy's cousin? You know, I mean, you know, it's that kind of
right.
stuff. But right. and the names are so difficult that you don't even remember the people's names.
Right.
You know, you just know who they are. But if I were to sit down with somebody who really knew the show and they started to like say, well, what about when Kargrashian, you know, met a Tarishian, I would go, okay, which one? Is that the guy with the red hair?
Right.
You know. So, yeah, yeah. There's no question. It's very complex. It certainly plays to the nerd geek factor. There's no question about that. But at the heart of it, it's a very interesting story. And that's, I think that's what's, because I'm not crazy about, you know, Merlin the Magician and dragons and all that stuff, too. But there is a good, at its core, story. And so, like I said, when I was thinking about it, I remember you saying several times that you didn't watch it. I'm like, now that it's back for its final season, it's interesting how you really, I give you credit, because you are still holding to your guns.
Yeah.
You are not giving in to say, well, maybe I should go to the library or find that episode, that Entertainment Weekly thing and bone up on my GOT.
Nope. Not tested at all.
No, nope. As long as I've got my housewives, I'm
That's
happy.
Right.
I guess from your standpoint, there's enough backstabbing on the Housewives of Beverly Hills that you don't need to see backstabbing.
That's like watching Game
yeah.
of Thrones. It's
well,
like
because,
real life Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that, well, believe me, now that I think about it, it's more like Game of Thrones than you. The only difference is there's no dragons, and that's even debatable.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just as much killing and backstabbing and whispering in the ears and conspiracies in, I would assume, Housewives of Bel Air than there are in
Beverly Hills.
But which one do you want? But isn't there a Bel Air one? No?
No, there's Beverly Hills, New York,
Orange Atlanta. County. There was
Atlanta.
One,
I don't watch Atlanta.
But I'm just saying there was one, right?
There's Dallas. I don't watch Dallas.
Yeah.
They've never brought it to Austin, though I've heard that they've tried to cast Chicago.
Oh, really?
And it didn't work out.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
And I've heard that there was some thought to Austin, but then Dallas, I think that was before they did Dallas. And that, I think it's probably a better fit for a city like Dallas.
Yeah.
You know? But, I don't watch all of them. There is that. But The Beverly Hills, Orange County are the closest, but they're like, those are the only two.
So here's my other question about Game of Thrones.
Region.
So then if you don't know the story, you don't know the show. So when you are either reading some magazines or seeing some shows, the stars of the show don't really pop out. It's like you don't know who Kit Harington is, right?
I mean, I know who he is.
But you don't understand.
I only know him because I know he plays a character on that show.
Right.
I don't know anything else about his career.
Right.
I'm not interested in him. I mean, when I see these people at award shows, like I'm not really that in, like
Yeah, so that's another thing.
I'm
so,
not really that interested because I don't know.
Right. So in other words, there's some major pop culture characters and actors and actresses that are still even not on your radar screen.
Right.
So how do you feel about that? Do you feel out of touch?
I mean, it's not really, because first of all, these people will go on to do other things and I'll eventually probably figure out who they are. But
well, some may and some may not.
The same thing as like when we're watching the Grammys, you know, and there's a lot of people we just tune out because we don't know who they are. We don't like their music. We're not interested in their music. You know, it's not really that much different. It doesn't make me feel like I still feel like I've got a firm handle on kind of the pop culture, you know.
But I tell you, I mean,
also like I know who Kit Harington is. So if I didn't know who he was at all, if I couldn't even recognize that.
And for those of you, and for those, I should say, for those of you who don't know, he plays Jon Snow, who is a main character.
I know the name Jon Snow. I know that that's a character,
and he is the heartthrob of the show.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. But see, I mean, what's is so interesting though is I think that what I find from your standpoint is I would buy that. And not that I don't believe you, but the thing is that this show, I mean, aside from the rabid nature of its fans, I mean, you really cannot deny, as I said before at the beginning of this,
you know, HBO was looking for something to be the, you know, heir to Sopranos in terms of must-see TV for HBO.
Yeah.
And not only has Game of Thrones become the heir apparent, in many ways, Game of Thrones has eclipsed Sopranos in right. terms of its impact, its popularity, its awards, its ratings. I mean, it has been, I mean, I think the funny thing is that while Sopranos did well with ratings, it was always good ratings for HBO.
Yeah.
But Sopranos never really, aside from maybe the last season and some of maybe the last episode, never really approached the kind of network numbers like 15 million or 18 million that like a network show gets. Sopranos never got that big. But Game of Thrones does. And so what's ironic is that HBO was looking for something that, geez, we got to find something that could be hopefully somewhat as popular as Sopranos. And they wound up finding something that really, in terms of the actual numbers, eclipsed the Sopranos.
Right.
You know, so my point is, I'm just surprised that you are so adamant, because this show isn't just a popular niche thing. You know, this is a major deal.
No, I get it. It's just, you know, yeah.
I can't get on board. And as I talk to you, I guess I feel the same way, because I have no interest in, for instance, the Avengers, the movies. You know what I mean?
I don't really.
You know, the superhero movies. And that's so there are references, and everybody talks about the new this and the Iron Man and the Shazams and all this stuff. And I was never into comic books when I was a kid. I'm not into comic books or superheroes now. Certainly, I liked the first Batman, you know, and I was into that as the Batman when I was growing up. But even when I got into Batman from television, it was years after in reruns, because I was maybe 1 or 2 years old. I might not even have been born
even when I was like a kid, those reruns were on like all day.
Yeah,
like,
but I mean, if you're going to talk to me about I have never seen Guardians of the Galaxy. I haven't seen any of the Avengers. I saw the first Iron Man movie because everybody talked about it, and I was like, okay, I'm just not getting it. And so, I'm that way when it comes to that. I mean, that's basically the whole Hollywood movie system now is based on superhero movies.
Right.
And I haven't seen one in, you know, what is it? I don't even think I saw the first Spider-Man, you know, with what's his name?
Tobey Maguire. Oh, God, even I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm just not really into that world, and that has totally passed me by. And I know that that's a major touchstone in pop culture thing for today's world. And, in, you know, 15 to 20 years, you will hear references to how great those movies are and stuff like that, and I will completely either have dementia or not get those references at all. But so it is kind of strange. I wonder, part of what, I mean, you know, is it like you're talking about the Grammys too? I mean, do you think is it part of just also just getting a little older and just liking what you like and not having to worry about going with the crowd either, though?
I mean, maybe, although I feel like I've always been like that. I don't think, like 20 years ago, I don't think I would have gone to see, you know, like a superhero movie, even if it was like the big thing.
Right, yeah.
I think I've always kind of, but I don't know, maybe it's because niche things are becoming more mainstream.
Right.
And then, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Well, I'm just thinking it's going to be very interesting to, in the next, as I said, this starts, goes to April. I think there's 6 episodes, so it's going to be, you know, this is the shortest season they had. They are extending each episode more than an hour. But it's only going to be 6 episodes, and so if it's April, you figure by June this will be done. But I know that from April 14th for the next 6 or 7 weeks, all you're going to be hearing about on Monday morning, or even Sunday night, right after, especially online, is oh my God, look what happened. But you won't care. You're going to be happy to be in your little housewives.
throw all the spoiler alerts that you want at
Oh, really? Time. So you would have no problems with spoiler alerts?
No.
Wow.
No.
And for that 1 hour a week, you and your husband will have drifted away, drifted apart.
I think we'll survive. We'll try it.
Well,
I'll let you know.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah. I want to find out after week one. I want to find out what. So are you going to be like, oh, maybe I should watch this? Because now you're going to miss. I mean, when that final episode airs, you are going to be so out of the mix on anything.
That's okay.
Really?
I'm okay with that.
Wow! Yes. Look at you. I don't think you're going to be able to take it. I think you're going to break.
I'll be okay.
I think you're going to break.
Maybe.
You're going to watch the final episode.
I'll just decide to be totally radical, not watch any Game of Thrones until the final whole series finale airs, and then sit down and watch that with my husband.
Right. Now I'm thinking about this. You should do that. Because at least, from a pop culture reference standpoint, you should know how it ends, whether you like it or not. Uh-huh. I mean, you should know who won the Civil War, regardless of whether you're into wars, right? You should still... Sure. I think that the ending of Game...
Well, you're assuming that they are going to wrap it up neatly you and give you
I'm
the
assuming
closure
that, yes.
that you're looking for.
Right. But my point is, you should, I think, as a pop culture guru-ess, you whether you like it or not, it should be a part of your general knowledge.
Okay.
So when you play Trivial Pursuit...
I'll take that into consideration.
And, okay, I don't know, are you a big, for instance, big football fan?
Not really, but I'll watch a football game.
Do you watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I watch the Super Bowl.
All right. This is the Game of Thrones Super Bowl. So,
but if I were to be in a situation where I couldn't for some reason watch the Super Bowl, it wouldn't bother me.
I understand that, but my point is, on that last Sunday of the final episode, if your husband's going to watch it, and I'm sure he will, I think that like watching the Super Bowl, even though you're not into it, it's an event.
Uh-huh.
I think that you should watch that final episode regardless. You will, even if you don't understand all the implications, you will still, it's still an event that you need to know about as a pop culture.
I will take that under advisement.
Yeah, I think you should have popcorn and knowing you, like your book club, wine.
Some wine.
But I think that should, whether you are a fan or not, I just think from the standpoint of general knowledge, okay, this is a pop culture event, I think you should be watching that.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see. I'll think about it.
Now, I know you don't know what Hodor means. I know you don't know what Westeros means.
Nope.
I know you don't know what Red Wedding means.
Nope, but I do know that that's a Game of Thrones reference.
Right. I'm saying, so all these references, when someone says, my God, that was worse than the Red Wedding, you go, I don't know what you're talking about.
Says that, I definitely know they're talking about Game of Thrones.
Right, but you don't get the reference. You just sit there like with an empty thought bubble over your head.
No, I just go like, oh, so you're into dragons? Yeah, that's what I do.
All right, well, I don't know where you're going to be on April 14th, but I know where 99% of the world is going to be to some extent, and I hope I am. I may have an engagement.
Well, then you better stay offline.
I know.
Get caught up with
you. I know.
DVR.
I can't believe it. I mean, I've waited like a year and a half, and then the day comes and I might not be home.
I know. It's crazy.
But it won't matter for you, but I want you to at least... I mean, I think this is a good, this is a good moment for you to do some bonding with your husband, because clearly there are some issues. There are clearly some Game of Thrones issues here that need to be resolved, and I think that you should be the better person.
Okay, well.
And on finale night, you should say, guess what? I'm watching this with you, and watch his eyes get a new appreciation and love for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll think about it.
But it all starts on April 14th on HBO, Game of Thrones. We'll find out if the... Well, I'm not even going to tell you because you... Well, you don't even care, though.
No, I don't care.
So do you watch... do you watch... See, now another one I'm completely out of the mix on. Do you watch Walking Dead?
No.
I don't either. I hate zombies.
But I don't think... I don't think nearly as many people watch Walking
Dead. No, but it's been a phenomenon to some extent. And yeah. I totally do not know... I mean, I know some of the characters. I know there's this Negan guy that walks around with a bat because now he's on some commercial. But I'm not into zombies. Don't get the zombie fascination. Never have. Never will. And that entire series has gone on without... I have never watched 5 minutes of it.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Me neither.
I don't know what that says about us. But I've always said if something's popular, I run away from it. So we'll see.
Well,
but anyway, well, I know what I... Well, if I'm not home, I will give you a call on April 14th because I know you'll be available.
And I will not have any spoilers for
you. So and you'll answer... I mean, you'll answer the phone.
I'll be your only safe place. Right.
Yeah. All right, Emily, thank you. Good luck, and I give you a lot of credit, and I wish you luck to survive the next 6 weeks or so as the rest of the world finds out if the Mother of Dragons becomes the Queen of Westeros.
Okay.
Emily's like, and Jimmy crack corn, and I don't care.
I don't care.
Take it easy.
Thanks, Jim.
And so that ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. I hope you enjoyed episode number 151. I hope you'll be around for episode 152. As I said, every Monday, a new one is posted. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic from the end of the web to your screen.